This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and on today's Hot Breath Live, we are doing an accounting masterclass with not only a fellow comedian, but also CFO, business owner, and so much more. She's a dear friend, and she's gonna come on the show to help answer all of our questions about taxes and really be a business, which is what comedians are. At the end of the day, we are entrepreneurs, we are business owners, so this is a very important and boring part of the comedy grind that we haven't really covered on this show in our 400 plus episodes. So I'm very excited to welcome to Hot Breath Live, no Yoshi So today. It is the one and only Tamagram, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
Hello. It's so good to be here.
Thank you so much for having us. I feel like we're on your show now because we're going to dive into this deep topic that in tax season, I'm telling you, I've been headfirst in it. And if you could, for the Hot Breathiverse, just give a little context for who you are, from the financial side, and then also maybe from the comedy side as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So glad to be here. Huge fan of your work, Joel, and I love Hot Breathiverse, and I've been a part of it for a couple of years now. You definitely kept me entertained during the pandemic when you couldn't go out in the world and do comedy. So very excited to share with you some things that I know are dry topics, but it's something that we all need to know. So a little bit about me. So my real name is Tamara Bucky, for those of you that know me. And then my stage name is Tamagram. But I've been doing accounting for, since I was 18. So I'm 41. It's too many years. I don't even want to tell you. Over two decades, I've been doing accounting. I did quit my job last year, though. So I'm doing my own thing now. I am a full-time entrepreneur with my own company called Raise Your Own Bar, which is helping people to just better themselves, businesses and individuals in whatever area that might be, through coaching, consulting, and training. So this is right in line with what I'm doing, and I'm really glad to be able to share this on the comedian side. And I've been doing stand-up now for over 11 years. November will be my 12-year anniversary for comedy. And this is just a nice way to bring the things together. And I'm actually doing that with my business too. I always incorporate humor into my training content, and I've also been doing some corporate comedy gigs and things like that. So really stoked to be here with you today, guys. And just if you have any questions, drop them in the chat and I'll do my best to answer them.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yeah. And we mentioned this last week on our live stream, just touched on the topic of taxes. And then comedian Marcus Spriggs DM'd me, because we always encourage comedians to reach out, give us feedback, give us ideas. And he reached out and was like, oh, I would love more about the taxes topic. So I think this is right in our wheelhouse. So I think to start it off, and I do see we already have some questions in the live chat here. I have one that I'm not seeing that is one that I do want to get into, because keeping up, or maybe I should start, are there certain top of mind things that you think all comedians should know or be doing before I maybe start to steer this in one direction?
Yeah, let me just give a little bit of an overview first.
Yeah.
So as a comedian, you know, by default, we are a 1099 contractor. We're freelancers. So that means that if we go out and do a gig and we get paid for it, then we should be claiming that money on our taxes. According to the IRS, you should be claiming all of it. Now, there are some reporting things that take place. If you get paid over, I think it's $400, then something will go to the IRS and that will be on file. So they get a copy, you get a copy. And if you don't end up putting that on your taxes and you're audited, you could get into some trouble and you might have to do like an amendment to your return. So just in general, if you are getting paid to do comedy, you should be keeping track of those dollar amounts and keeping your receipts. And you can just take a picture of them and, you know, create a folder in your Google Drive and just shove everything in there and then deal with it at the end of the year. But you do want to keep track of them all throughout the year. And the same goes for your expenses. So things that you can subtract, we'll get into a little bit later on in the broadcast, but just know you want to keep records throughout the entire year. You don't want to wait until the end of the year and then have a shoebox where you got to try to dig in your couch cushions, dig in your car, pull out receipts out of the back of the closet. You know, you want to have all your ducks in a row so that when you go to file, it's easy to just put all the information in.
Do you recommend any, do you have any favorite software or anything? I know like QuickBooks or anything like that.
For keeping track of your expenses?
Yes.
Yeah. So QuickBooks is great. I use a free service called Wave Accounting, WAVE. Uh-huh. And it has a lot of really useful tools, right, built into it. And there are some paid upgrades you can do. Like if you end up, maybe you have a business where you're hiring people to do things, you can actually set up payroll and vendor payments for a nominal fee. And they're really good about only charging you for what you use. So I use the free version. And then when I have to do any kind of labor payments for people that I end up hiring to help me with gigs, I can just make that payment. And I think it charges me like $10 or $12 or something like that. It's a very small amount. So
okay,
QuickBooks
yeah.
and Wave would be the two that I would suggest.
Yeah, I use QuickBooks Self-Employed, and every year it costs more and more, which is very convenient for them. Yeah. And then I had someone tell me I should go from the QuickBooks Self-Employed to the QuickBooks Simple something. Does that make sense? I'm very organized.
It's probably, I'm not familiar with the tools that they offer currently, but sure it's probably like a different version, maybe like a small business simple.
Right. Like, yeah. It was supposed to have more like you can calculate your like your P&L sheets and things like that more easily in that version. But it sounds like Wave may also be just a good one that comedians can take advantage of, and it's free.
Yeah, and you can get your P&L, your which is your profit and loss statement. You can get your balance sheet.
I was using corporate jargon there. Sorry.
Profit and loss statement, aka income statement, which shows all the money coming in and going out of your business. So you can run those simple reports for free in Wave, and you can also do a balance sheet. You can print a trial balance. There's other custom reports you can do right inside of there for free. And you know, maybe they'll start charging at some point, but as of right now, the majority of the things inside the software are free.
Oh, very cool. Oh yeah. And then I guess the one of the perks of QuickBooks was you can file on TurboTax for free, so I guess there is that. With Wave, you then have to like find somewhere to file it, your actual taxes. This just keeps up with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So for me personally, when it comes to filing my taxes, I use Tax Act, ACT, and that's just, it's just a tool. You can do, I believe you can do free filing through Tax Act if you're a W-2 employee for your federal, but then you get, I think you have to pay like $15 for state filing. And then if you have other things like being a 1099, you're going to have a Schedule C. I think you have to pay for that, but I end up with all of the different things I have going on with my business, and then I also have some rental property too, I think I paid like $150 to file my taxes. So it's really not terrible.
Great. Okay, cool. So what we have so far is you mentioned organization throughout the year, take photos of all your receipts, and keeping track of your expenses throughout the year.
Yes, absolutely. Keep track of them, put them in a safe space so you can keep, you know, get them when you need them. And I just use Google Drive for everything. So I'll take pictures of actual receipts or scan them in. I use Adobe Scan, which is a free tool, and just keep them in there. That way you don't have to worry about holding on to actual receipts because they disappear, they get ripped up, your cat eats them. And they actually fade too. That's one thing that I had to learn the hard way is the ink literally fades after a while. So you might have a box of receipts and you go to pull them out at the end of the year and they are blank. Which is like, what?
Yeah. So that's a good baseline of
keep up with all your income and expenses and make sure you have photos of everything, basically, for documentation.
Yeah. And that'll help you, too, in case you ever get audited, because if you ever get audited, then you'll be required to provide those source documents. Of course, you can always go off of your credit card statements or your debit card, but that's not a best practice. Like, you can go to that if you lose a receipt, but it doesn't usually tell you what the transaction is. It'll just tell you what the vendor is. So it's like, okay, if you buy something from Walmart and it just shows that on your credit card, good luck proving that to an auditor that you bought something that's pertinent to your business.
Is auditing at random, or what usually triggers that? How can we avoid that?
It is random. There are some things that will cause, I don't know, there's some criteria that the IRS will use to look at, like, what they consider red flags. Off the top of my head, I would say we're going to be more at risk for being audited as businesses versus like a W-2 employee. So you do want to make sure that you do your due diligence and keep your good records, because we're already just a walking red flag.
Good to know. Yes, good to know. So let's get into some questions we have in the live chat here. And for the peeps listening to the podcast, we do a live stream every Tuesday on our YouTube channel. So please come hang out with us. Join our Facebook group where we keep the discussions from the live streams going. And the first question I'm seeing here is from Imre, who actually said he skipped ping pong for this. So thank you for penciling us into your busy social calendar for this here, Imre. He said, I started an LLC 3 years ago for comedy, but haven't written off anything because I'm spending more than I'm bringing in. Should I start a new LLC so I can take advantage of write-offs, or can I write off more than I'm making? How does that work?
You can operate at a loss, and you might be surprised to know how many companies have that happen. I was just looking at the financials for Boeing for an exercise for another class, and Boeing has had a loss for the last 3 years. So yeah, you can absolutely write off things and operate at a loss. Now, the IRS will have a problem if you're continuing to lose money year after year. So I think with 3 years in a row of losing money, then you might need to consider reclassifying it. But you should absolutely be writing off at least up to the amount of what you are making.
You want to make that number as small as possible, right? Like you want your expenses to get as close to your income as possible, because that's the difference is what your taxable income is.
Yes, absolutely.
So what are things? Yeah.
You certainly can, Emery.
Oh, yeah. So operating at a loss. Okay. What are some things we can write off?
So when it comes to being an entertainer, a lot of things that we spend money on include transportation, hotels, gas, bus tickets. And that includes if you give a friend gas money because you're ride sharing, you know, you can write that off. Bus passes, tolls, parking tickets. You can write off things like meals and entertainment. If you're going somewhere, like let's say you're going out of town for a gig and you have to eat on the way, you can expense that meal because that's not something that you normally would have to pay if you were at home, right? So within reason, if you're going out to a gig and maybe you're going and talking to a booker and you guys go and meet for dinner and you offer to pay, that could be a business expense for that meal because that is hopefully going to lead to work. And then, of course, you know, marketing expenses, if you're buying flyers, if you're paying for software, like I pay for Zoom. And so your Zoom account, if you have a cell phone that you dedicate, like I have a second phone for my business, so I write off that expense. And you can also consider things like what you're already paying for that you need for your personal life, but they also bleed into your business life. So, for example, for me, I have a designated workspace in my house and I have measured the square footage of that room. And then I take that, you can just do some simple math. For me, it comes out to be around 25% of my home. So I'll take 25% of my mortgage, my insurance, my electric bill, my internet bill. And you can just do that as a standard multiplier based on whatever square footage you are using for your designated office or workspace. And then a percentage of all of those can be written off. And then, of course, for us, we might also have things like costumes. We might have tools, microphones, tables, like anything that helps you do your job as a comedian.
Costumes as in like clothing? Like if you buy a shirt?
Yeah. Yeah, costumes. So some people like to do, I know like Bobby Sutton comes to mind. You know, she's always got some bathrobe with her Southern Trailer Park mama get up. So if she bought a bathrobe specifically to use in comedy or a hat or, you know, maybe you're doing improv too. So you have props that you're buying. Those all can be written off as well.
Well, wouldn't that even just be if I wore a shirt on stage? Isn't that a costume? Part of my costume?
Not exactly. Not exactly. Okay. I like where you're going with it, but no, because it has to be something that is bought specifically for the purpose of the gig. So if you're buying clothes in general that you're going to wear in your everyday life, I would not consider that an expense. But if you're buying, maybe you bought hot press shirts, then in that right. case, yes.
Okay. Or hot breath mug like this.
And going even further into that for us females, if we have to buy, let's say we have to go get our hair done for a gig or we have to buy makeup for a gig, you can expense that as well, but it has to make sense. It has to be for a gig or for some kind of event. And then you can also use that. If I have to do, let's say I have an award show that I'm going to be the MC for, and I have to buy a fancy dress, theoretically, I can go and buy that dress and expense it.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We're getting some questions about the difference between the benefits of an LLC or INC, someone, Rob B. said. Could you run us down? Cause I'm an LLC and I don't really even know what that means. So, could you maybe break down the actual structuring of our business and maybe the best route? Cause maybe I need to switch up what I'm doing anyway. Could you give some tips on that end?
Well, it depends on your circumstances. So by default, if you never file any paperwork, you're automatically a sole proprietor. So if you're working for yourself and you're receiving money for something you do, whether it be comedy or cutting your neighbor's grass, you are a sole proprietor LLC. Now, or I'm sorry, a sole proprietor. If you want to become an LLC, you file paperwork. And the reason that you do that is to separate yourself, your personal finances, from the business. And the reason that you would want to do that is for liability. So if you're sued, your company gets sued versus Joel Byers being sued. So having that corporate veil to separate your personal finances and your personal business is always a good idea. Now, when we talk about structure, LLC versus when we said Inc, he said, right, INC. So that's corporation. You can be a C corp, you can be an S corp. That is going to depend on your goals as a business and how you want to structure. They're all going to be considered corporations in some form or fashion, but it's really about how they are taxed and what the goals are. One benefit of having an LLC is you can do what's called a pass-through. And that's how I do my taxes. So all the money that I earn, I then put it on a Schedule C and file it with my personal income taxes. Whereas with a corporation, they're going to have its own separate return.
Can you say that again? I heard pass through and then it just passed one ear and out the other.
Yes. So a pass through is where the money you earn and the expenses that are subtracted from your earnings are lumped in or passed through from the company to the individual. So Joel Byers can file for Hot Breath LLC with one tax return and it will be under your personal return. Uh-huh. Whereas if you have it just as a corporation, that corporation has its own individual tax return. And then Joel Byers has his own. There's a separation. There's more separation there doing it that way.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Cause I have, now that you're saying separation, the name of my LLC is Joel Byers LLC. That's not
separate,
very separate.
But different.
Yeah. Right. Do I need to start another one?
No, you wouldn't need to start another one.
It's still separate, just because it's my name. Okay.
Yeah. It's still going to be separate because with an LLC, you have an EIN, right? You have you have your own taxpaying identifier number for the business, whereas if you didn't have an LLC, you would use your social security number.
Okay, yeah. So I do have an EIN.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So it's separate.
Which is employer identifier number. Even if you don't have employees, it's still going to be called an EIN, or you might hear it as a TIN, taxpayer identifier number.
Okay, perfect. Oh, and we got a super chat from Imre. Thank you, Imre.
Ooh, nice.
We're so fancy. We just made $10. We're going to have to put that on our taxes now. So
yes, that's true. Thanks. Now you just made him do more work, Imre.
You're all witnesses. You're hilarious. Yeah, I never knew. I knew I became an LLC, and then I was like, I don't even know what that means, or like, I don't know what LLC, S corp or C corp, or honestly, don't know. I'm embarrassed to say that, but.
Well, so an LLC is a limited liability company. It's not a corporation. So it has a little bit more flexibility. It's still, it still has that corporate veil, so to speak. So if somebody sues the LLC, they're not suing you individually. They're suing the company, which means that the company might be bankrupt and they're not going to affect your personal finances.
Right. Perfect. Awesome. Grampy Comedy asked, how can you make your comedy expenses tax deductible? Doesn't the IRS make a distinction between a business and a hobby?
It does. So it depends on how you are structured and what you're doing with it. So for Hot Breath, anything you do, this is your job, right? Like, mm-hmm. You kind of have to use your judgment there. So a lot of people are doing comedy as a hobby, which it's still going to be required for you to claim that income. And the distinction is really going to come down to what else do you have going on in your finances? Do you have a W-2 job as well? Are you earning money some other way? And how much are you earning? Is it something you're doing every day, every week, every month? Or is it something you do once in a while?
Yeah, because I think that's what Imre had said as well, is that he has like a day job, basically, in addition to this comedy LLC that he has.
So really the distinction, according to the IRS, I just looked it up because I wanted to be sure. A hobby is an activity that you pursue because you enjoy it and you don't care about making a profit. Whereas a business is with the design of making a profit and earning a living from it.
Well, there you go, kids. Jody Carter asked, how do you blend taxes from comedy and your regular job? Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Well, you don't necessarily blend them. You would account for them separately. So when you're filing your taxes at the end of the year, then you are going to have your W-2 and you'll put all that information in. And then you're going to have a Schedule C for your business. A Schedule C is another document that the IRS uses to capture those business activities. So they are going to be separate filings, but it's all going to be on the same return. So like when I do my taxes, I have my 1040, which is your form that you're filling out to actually do your tax return. And then in addition, I have a Schedule C that lists my income, my expenses, and anything else that I've got going on with the business. And then those get compiled together in the system. And I would highly recommend using a system and not just like manually trying to do your taxes on paper, because that is just way too much work. But all of it will come out on the same return in the end, and the Schedule C would just be attached to your 1040.
It's a lot of numbers and different forms, and I get a lot of, I get a lot of 1099s, but I don't think, I just had, those are basically just documentation that this company paid me this amount of money this year,
mm-hmm.
basically is what that is.
Yeah, and so you'll get a 1099 if it, I think it's like mandatory if you earn $400. I think it might, it's either $400 or $600, where it'll just automatically require that you get one. So any business that you are doing any kind of service for will ask you for a W-9 before mm-hmm. you get started, and you'll have to fill that out. And then you'll get a 1099 that says this is what your earnings were for that year, kind of like you would with the W-2. You fill out at the, or you'll get a W-4 at the beginning of your employment, and then you get a W-2 to account for what you earned with the company. So kind of similar. And the 1099 is something that gets sent to the IRS. So you get a copy, the company keeps a copy, and the IRS keeps a copy. So if you fail to include one of those 1099s and you don't claim that income and you get audited, then you can, you know, be required to do an amended return and owe more money on that. Now, you might find yourself in a situation where you're earning money and you're not getting a 1099. You know, how many gigs do we do where we just get paid cash from some guy who's running the gig and they're not keeping track of anything? It's still on you to claim that income, no matter what the amount is. It's according to the IRS, you should be writing down all of those transactions and claiming it, whether you get a 1099 or not. So that's kind of like the honor system that they're going off of. And when you're getting paid through cash, there's no record. So that's a little bit more complicated. In order to keep track of that yourself, you could enter it into a system like with you, QuickBooks, or for me, Wave. Or you could even just like put it on a spreadsheet and just keep track of it in some way that got the date, the gig, and the dollar amount.
Yeah, because in order, let's say it's a road gig, in order to be able to write off the travel expenses, you would need to account for the payment of that, right? To it all has to be together, showing that this was an actual like business trip.
Theoretically, yes. If you're doing it for a gig, there might be times where you're traveling to do an open mic. True. Or you're traveling to do a tryout. You know, I do acting as well. So sometimes I will go and actually do like a reading or something. That is still an expensable expense. That's something that I can claim on my taxes, the travel that I had to spend to get there, even though I'm not earning any money. So it doesn't have to be a one-to-one matchup. But if it's anything related to a gig, you would want to keep track of both.
Yeah, Joanna G asked if she performs while on vacation with her family, which sounds like maybe performing for free, maybe at an open mic, what can she write off from that trip?
That's a really good question, and I will give you the IRS answer, which is you can only claim the thing that is related to the gig or the mic. So travel to and from your vacation spot to that particular gig. Now, if you are like me, you try to book gigs out of town and have a little vacation along with it, right? So I like to, like, for example, I've got a gig booked next month in Florida. And so I'm going to be claiming my expenses to and from Florida. And then I'm also going to stay an extra couple days and tack on like a vacation to it. But I'm only going to claim expenses for the trip down and back, and then the hotel for the 2 days surrounding the gig. And then those other days would not be expensable.
Yeah, I think there is it that you can claim the day before and the day after your gig, basically?
Typically, yeah. Yeah, typically, again, you got to use your judgment on things. But if, you know, if you're going out of town to do a gig, you got to travel to get there. And if the gig is at like 6 p.m. the next day, you're going to want to be, you know, you might want to be in the town the day before, get your bearings, and then you're not going to want to leave right after the gig. So you would check out a hotel the following day. And so, yeah, you would expense one day before and one day after. That is typical.
Yeah, and this is interesting because very common in comedy here is Ray Jubella said, doesn't the IRS have a threshold for reporting? It isn't it like, he said it was 20,000.
Reporting what exactly? Because I think if you make 12,000, wait, actually, I looked
probably
it up
asking, yeah, like if you make enough to actually have to file or whatnot, maybe.
The minimum amount of money that is required, you can file if you only made $400 for the year. But the IRS requires that you file if you make $13,850, and that is the current number. It does change. Every year, it usually goes up a little bit, but currently is $13,850.
Well, there you go, comedians. The bar has been raised. 13 grand a year making comedy. Good luck. No, you get you can do it. But
get some corporate gigs. You can. That's where the money's at.
Yes, very true. Very, very true. Which is why I actually started teaching clean comedy workshops to help empower comedians with the skill of clean comedy to start booking these higher paying gigs. I'm actually doing one this Sunday. If you want to join, it's linked in the description of this episode. Moving on. Joel Long, who actually was at, I did a show in Tennessee this weekend and he was at, which was very cool. Joel asked, sports athletes have to pay taxes in each state they perform. Do comics?
That's a good question. I'm going to need to Google it to see what the latest and greatest information was. Because that does change.
I don't ever remember doing that. I've always just... Yeah, I don't remember any payment being specific to the state in terms of taxes and whatnot. Maybe I just didn't notice.
So, just based on Googling it, it's saying specifically for sports athletes. But let me just see what this says. Because I'm not quite sure, and I don't want to tell you wrong.
Yeah, for sure. He's basically saying, so if I had a gig in Tennessee, I would be paying their tax rate and not Georgia's tax rate where my company is based.
I think the right answer is yes, you may have to, and it's going to depend on the individual state's requirements for filing. I know that a few years back when I looked into this, it was a thing, and then I believe it got changed. So I'm going to try to find a good answer for you before the end of this call.
Yeah, no, yeah, that is a, yeah, that is a good question for sure. I don't,
it is a very good question.
Yeah, I just put stuff in, QuickBooks, and then at the end of the year, I'm like, all right, here's what it is. I would like to be, I do want to have more confidence around operating as a business and more confidence around money and more operating from more of a business mindset and being more mindful of, okay, what's coming in? What percentage of what is coming in am I saving? What percentage am I reinvesting? Like, are there any financial frameworks or best practices to start really? Because my mindset around money is really interesting to wherein growing up, it was almost like taboo to talk about. It was something we didn't talk about as a family. It was like money and politics were like two topics. It's like, you just never talk about those. So now as an adult, I'm like, huh. So I have a weird relationship with money. I would like to, I'm going to lay down on my couch and we'll just start this session over. And this just became a virtual therapy session. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You've been in the money game for a long time. I'm sure you've probably heard that before in some capacity.
Well, so everybody has a different relationship with money based on how they were brought up. And that does tend to carry over into your adult life. So if you grew up poor, for example, like I did, then you might have a scarcity mindset when it comes to money. And you might be more inclined to save and not run up bills and not, you know, take on a lot of expenses. You do see some people go the other route though, where they grew up poor and all they do is spend because they're not used to having money, and now they do. When it comes to best practices, I mean, it's going to be subjective. It's going to be an opinion, but I'll give you mine. I think you, as a business, you should absolutely be saving some money. You want to pay yourself, and you want to reinvest some of that money into your business. So if I were to give you a, just off the top of my head, rule, maybe like split it three ways, and, you know, 33% you are reinvesting in the business, 33% you are saving, and then the rest you're spending. But if you're not making enough money to do that, of course, you would still need to look at the math, and maybe you would, let's say you're not making enough money now, and like 80% of all of your earned money is then just being paid like through bills. You got to pay yourself too. So I know that that's something you can probably relate to, Joel. Sometimes we don't have a lot of money left over after paying all the expenses. And so we kind of like maybe only give ourselves a small amount. You ideally want to get to the point where you can give yourself a W-2 payroll gig. That is my goal for myself. Put yourself on payroll so that you're then paying into Social Security, Medicare, you're paying federal and state income taxes. And then let's say once you're in that position where you are a W-2 employee for your business, then what you have left, maybe let's say you have $10,000 a year left. You know, maybe you save half of that and the other half goes towards reinvesting in things like software, equipment, you know, fill in the blank on what your business needs.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because right now it's all just, it's coming in and I put it in the bank account. I don't necessarily think of it as I'm paying myself in any way. So it's like, let's just say make $1,000 for a gig. It's breaking it down of, okay, a third of this automatically I'm putting away for savings. A third of this, I will look into how I can reinvest it into the business. And then the rest, the other third, wow, math was really good. My mom was a math teacher. She's going to be thrilled with that. Yeah, and then the other third is paying, I mean, or possibly paying myself. I guess I never thought to separate. I was like, oh, this money is mine. It's coming into my business. But you actually separating it, I guess, is part of that operating as a business mindset, like I was referencing earlier.
So ideally, you would have a separate bank account for all of your business expenses. And you have everything that you are spending for the business, including, like, let's say you're going out of town and you're putting gas in your car. You would use that card associated with that account. And for me, I have a business checking account, I have a business savings account, and I also have a business credit card. And so anything related to the business, like my Zoom that I pay for, when I do gigs, if I'm going to buy equipment, I would use my business finances to pay for that. And then I will transfer money from the business account to me to pay me for the gig. That's the best scenario. Now, when you're first getting started, or if you're just not that organized yet, you know, there's going to be a lot of, maybe you're just using your personal bank account and you're kind of doing it that way. That does make it more complicated though, when it comes to keeping track of your records and then filing your taxes at the end of the year.
Is there a minimum for, because you said to pay yourself as a W-2 employee, do you need to make a minimum amount to do that? Is it the 13,000, like you said, for?
I mean, you can put yourself on payroll for even as a part-time employee. So I don't know that there is a hard and fast rule. I would say you want to consider, is it worth your time and energy? Because when you are responsible for doing payroll, that's a whole nother set of requirements when it comes to, you have to pay as the business. The business is going to have to pay federal and state, as well as Social Security, FICA, Medicare, et cetera. And then there's going to be certain requirements that the business has to meet for benefits, for example. Just a lot of other paperwork when you have an official employee. So you're not going to want to do that until you're ready.
Okay.
But that is the ideal state to strive for, is to eventually be able to put yourself on payroll as a W-2 employee and have your ducks in a row and possibly even give yourself benefits, you know, paid time off, health insurance, things of that nature.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. So it's good to have the goal of doing that, but not necessarily eating the elephant all in one bite.
No. And I'm not there yet for myself either. I'm not making enough money to warrant the extra expenses that go along with putting me on payroll. Like, my income is still sporadic right now. It's different every month, and it's hard to predict as a result as I'm continuing to grow my business. But maybe within the next year, hopefully I will be able to put myself on payroll. And, you know, there is the added benefit of, we have to pay taxes on what we earn. If you're getting money taken out of your paycheck, then that helps you from having a big tax bill at the end of the year. Or the IRS recommends that you pay quarterly tax estimated payments.
Yes.
And so I don't know if that's something that you're doing now, Joel.
I am. I did last year for the first time.
Nice.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I paid my quarterly taxes last year for like this upcoming season. So it's pretty adult of me.
I'm proud of you. I'm not even doing that for myself yet, because, in 2023, I did work part of the year still. So I had money, taken out of my, you know, I was a W-2 employee for like the first 5 months of the year. And so, or the first 4 months of the year. So I did not, but for 2024, I need to get that going so I can start making those quarterly tax payments and get in line with what the IRS requirements are.
Because if you don't pay the quarterly, then there's like a fee at the end, I believe. If you wait until the end, or what is the benefit of doing it quarterly?
Well, I think the big benefit is you're not going to get stuck with a giant bill because you've already been making payments towards it, and the IRS is concerned and wants to make sure that you pay them. Like, they want their money no matter what. I don't know if there's a penalty. Let me see.
Oh, I thought there was, which is why I was sure to do it this past year. But maybe not. But that is good to know. Because all this stuff is boring. And then tax season comes around and you're like, oh no, what have I done?
So according to what I'm reading from the IRS.gov, it says you do not have to make estimated tax payments if you did not owe taxes from the previous tax year. So if you did owe money, then you should be required to start making those quarterly tax payments the following year. And if you are in that situation and you do not file quarterly, then yes, you can be charged a penalty.
Okay, gotcha. Which I don't even know. I don't, from year to year, it's like, what was last year?
Once you're doing it, you're going to want to continue to do it, because you're not going to want to stop. If you started making quarterly tax payments, you're going to continue making them. You wouldn't stop it unless you shut the business down, of course, in which case then it would make sense.
Okay. So I hope this is helping comedians. I'm trying to think if there's any other fundamentals that we haven't mentioned. We talked about write-offs, structuring your business like LLC. When should someone, like, there's probably younger comics listening and thinking, oh, they need to start an LLC now. When should someone start an LLC?
It really comes down to risk, you know, and what you're doing. If you're doing it kind of as a hobby right now, even though you might be earning money, you don't need to do an LLC filing unless you want to go full time. And when you're ready to go full time, I would absolutely recommend filing an LLC to have that corporate veil. So if you get sued, or if something happens, you're not going to go bankrupt as an individual. Your business might, but you can always start another business later. Whereas if you go bankrupt, it can completely destroy your finances. And I do want to go ahead and mention, if you're not already considering it, You might want to get a general liability policy so that way if something does happen, then you have insurance to help you out.
What is that exactly?
General liability insurance for your business.
Oh, like it's business insurance.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay. And it would just be general liability is the policy. And that's just like, I do public speaking I do comedy, of course, but I also do training. And God forbid I go and do a gig and I give somebody advice and they take it and they ruin their life. And then they come and sue me. Well, I have a general liability policy that I purchased for my business that covers up to $1 million. And that is just in case, you know, somebody takes my advice and makes a bad decision, they could sue me. And this kind of gives me some protection there. So it's not very expensive. I use a company called ByBurk, which is through Berkshire Hathaway. And I think I end up paying like $35 a month for it for a minimum, for $1 million policy.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Oh, and Joel said you can pay your family and children to shift your tax burden.
You can if you put them to work for your business. So one thing that a lot of people are doing these days is a lot of social media. So if you're putting your kids in your social media, for example, then you can pay them up to a certain dollar amount and you can claim that. I want to say it's somewhere around $12,000.
Wow.
Yeah. But you have to use them in the business in some capacity. And marketing is one way that a lot of people do it. And that includes, like, there's a guy that has a furniture store here locally, and his kids are always in his advertising, like on the local television channel. So I'm sure he's writing off money that he's paying his kids. Now, is he really paying his kids? Or is that money, like, I don't know. Is he putting the money in the piggy bank? I don't know. But there is a write-off that you can get for that.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm, as we start to land the plane, how organized are you with financial goals? Or what is your mindset around money and how you can use it as a tool?
Well, before I go too far into it. So accounting is something that I've done a lot for my job, but what I really am passionate about is personal finance. And personal finance includes budgeting, debt management, saving, and creating financial goals for yourself. Like maybe you want to buy a house, maybe you want to take a vacation somewhere, maybe you want to start thinking about your retirement. It's never too early to start thinking about retirement, by the way. Because your money is going to multiply. When you think about the time value of money, you invest a little bit now, it earns interest, it's going to be worth a heck of a lot more later. And the longer time frame you have between when you invest that money and when you pull it out, the greater the return is going to be for you. So personal finance wise, I think it's really good to have a budget for yourself. And even something just very simple, like I use just a generic little Google sheet, and I put every time I get paid, what are the expenses I'm going to take out of that? And I do it on a month-to-month basis. But I also project out, what are my expenses going to be? I have it mapped out through the end of this year. So it's good to be able to look forward and go, what do I know that I have to pay every single month this year? And then write that down. And you do want to pay yourself through savings. So you want to be investing in something that is giving you some kind of return, because we're losing money with inflation. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, if you're just putting the money in a checking account, you're losing money. So find you a savings account. I have a recommendation for a high yield savings account with Citibank, that's CIT, not to be confused with Citibank, which just has like an extra I in there.
Interesting.
But you can get I think they have like a 4.75% right now. So I'm earning money with my savings account. You do want to have something for retirement. If your company offers 401k, put money in there. Max out your deductions if you can, because of course you get a reduced tax burden for money that you're putting in your 401k. But even if you're self-employed, you know, put some money in an IRA. You can do that. And I would recommend Charles Schwab or Fidelity. they have IRAs that you can get into for small amounts minimum. I think it's like $1,000 or maybe $1,200 to open one up and get your debt paid down, because debt costs you money. Just like you can earn interest, they're earning interest off of you. So try to minimize how much money you're giving to these fat cat corporations when, you know, they don't need it. And try not to get in the habit of running up debt. Because it's going to continue to snowball, and eventually, you know, you might want to buy a house or you might want to buy a new car. And if you have too much debt, then you may not be able to do that. And you might get to a point where you can't afford to live anymore. And that's cardboard box. Mm. That's all you're going to have.
And is that high yield savings your business, or is that a personal savings?
That's just personal. Yeah. I just, okay, for my personal finance.
And what business credit card do you have?
I have a Citibank credit card for my personal business, which I believe is a MasterCard. Yeah.
What made you pick that one?
I think I just did a search online for like business credit cards, and I wanted to find one that did not have an annual fee, because a lot of these companies require an annual fee, and I don't want to have to pay money to get access to money if I don't have to. And so they looked like a good option. And that's the only one that I really considered after just doing a simple Google search. It might not be the best interest rate or anything. I'm not sure. They charge a lot. I think it's like 27% or something. So not something you want to carry a balance on if at all possible. You want to pay it off every month.
But yeah, and you use that only for your business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's even a fundamental thing people can start doing, even at the ground level, is setting up a completely different checking and savings that's, and credit card that's just business related, and just separating those completely out from your personal.
Yeah. And you should, if you're serious as a business, then you should separate your finances and not spend business money for your personal stuff and vice versa if you can. And it makes it a lot easier for you when it comes to record keeping and tax filing and anything, especially if you get audited, you know, trying to pull your personal financial transactions and separate them. It's a lot easier and cleaner if you have them separate. And it is recommended by the IRS to do it that way.
Wow. Well, did we miss anything? I see Bobby has a question about your wrapping. But I do want to make sure, before we talk about your wrapping, I still want to make sure that we know, make sure we covered everything on the financial side.
I did want to circle back to the question about having to pay taxes in states where you go and do gigs. So I did find an article from last year that talks about some states have reciprocity agreements. And you would need to do your own research to figure out if the state, it's usually the states that are next to you. So like I live in Alabama, so Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, they may have reciprocity agreements in place where I don't have to worry about that. But otherwise, it does look like you do, in fact, need to potentially have to file some taxes. It would just be for your state. And that makes it difficult, I know, but it's just going to be another tax return. It's not a lot of work. It's just a little bit of extra work. But do your due diligence. Find out what the minimum filing requirements are for that state. And I'm actually really glad that this came up in this conversation, because I have a gig in Florida next month. And then I have two gigs in Oklahoma in June. And so I need to get my ducks in a row for those earnings, because I hadn't even thought about it. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, great question. That's awesome. Yeah, and we can keep the conversation going in our Facebook group as well for people that want to talk about this more or have other questions that other people in the Hot Breathiverse may be able to help out with. Our Facebook group is a great place to keep these dialogues moving. So
yeah,
as we land the plane here, you mentioned your new business is part of what you do, helping people with their personal finances and getting their life together. Is that part of the service you offer, or like, can people hire you to help, or
Yeah. So Raise Your Own Bar. I mean, we help individuals raise their bar through their personal finance. I've helped people get their homes organized. I've helped people figure out how to get a better job, career services, things of that nature. So coaching, we would meet with you, figure out what is it that you need help with? What are your goals? And then we would figure out then how we can help you. And then businesses, we come in and we do a lot of things like process improvement, training, one-on-one coaching with executives so that they can then be a better leader to their employees.
Wow. Well, you may be hearing from me on that because I need it. We're leveling up here. And I really want to start really changing my mindset around my business and how I operate and how my day-to-day goes. Because at a certain point, you just have to realize that, yeah, it's not all, I mean, it's fun, but it is a business and it needs to be treated as such. Yeah. And I think a lot of comedians miss that part of it, that it's show business and it's two completely separate jobs. Developing as a comedian and getting good at the craft is one job. And then the business and developing that whole side is another, and that a lot of that is the unsexy, it's not the crowd work clip, it's not booking the big gig. Sometimes it is, what were my profits and losses for this week, and what are my trajectories, and how can I change that to improve or to keep building on what I'm building on? You know, it's very valuable. I think the earlier comedians can adopt that mindset, I think the better and more sustainable the comedy will be.
Well, and also how to cut expenses. So maybe there might be some efficiencies that you can gain, or maybe there's something you can eliminate as an expense in lieu of something else. So we'll help you with that as well, because it's going to be custom, but we would come in and we would evaluate what do you need help with? Where are your problem areas? And then we can come up with a custom solution to help you meet those goals.
I love it. Yes, I love it. And I know Bobby's been in the live chat asking, but the rap song, can you tell us what's going on with your rap song?
I just wanted to do all the finance stuff.
Yeah, I didn't want to be like, all right, LLCs. Wait, tell us about your hot bars you have as well. You're legitimate in the financial world, and I just wanted that to be established before we're then like, oh, and she raps too.
Bobby has seen me perform, and I do have some songs. If you go on iTunes or Spotify or Amazon Music and you type in Tamagram, just like you see it on the screen, with a space between each word, because I made it difficult, I'm sorry. But if you look that up, you will find I actually have a couple of songs that are published, and you can listen to them and even buy them if you want. But I also, because I'm a nerd, I am also known as the tax rapper. So I, how white can you get? I know.
That is amazing.
I don't know if you can get any whiter than a tax rapper, but in honor of the topic for today, to close it out, I'll give you just a little bit of a rhyme if you want to hear it.
Oh, snap. This is amazing.
All right. This is one that I wrote specifically for Uncle Sam. Okay. Get your pen, fill out your 1040. Remember when the tax rapper warned me, exploit the rules and work the system, but don't let no receipts go missing. Because one thing is true for the red, white, and blue. Uncle Sam gonna get his. They ain't playing with you. And that one's gonna be called Don't Make Me Bust a Cap in Your Assets.
Oh, snap. There we go. Hot fire. Oh, that is amazing. Well, where can people connect with you if they have more questions or want to work with you?
Yeah, so my company is Raise Your Own Bar. You can go to raiseyourownbar.com. We've also got a Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn page, as well as a YouTube channel, which we're just getting stood up, and we're going to be sharing a lot of content on there going forward. You can follow my comedy by going to tamagram.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Tamagram, as well as Instagram. But I would love to connect with you. If you've got something that you want to potentially hire my business for, would love to hear it. Hit me up.
Yeah, well, I will definitely be hitting you up. And anyone in the Hot Breathiverse, feel free to reach out to Tamagram. Any questions you want to work with her? It's she spent her valuable time sharing all this, honestly, seemingly boring information, but you would have to dig for hours to find this like level of detail into how to really pursue your finances in this comedy game. So thank you so much, genuinely from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you and everyone hanging out here on the live stream. I will be sure to put this video up on our Patreon, and for anyone listening on the podcast, join our live stream every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're doing these master classes. So thank you guys so much. Tamagram, you're awesome. Everyone have a good day.
Thanks,
out there.
Joel.
Bye,
thanks
y'all.
So much. I appreciate it. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.